MGTOW man, welcome back. Thank you for listening in today. I'll do my best to bring forth some content for myself to think about, for you guys to utilize. For those of you that are new, you may not know that each Sunday I produce a video about the red pills that are present in the Bible. And there are a number of them everywhere. One of the first things that came to my mind when I started to make this content was exactly that, the connection there. So whether you're a Christian, whether you're agnostic, an atheist, or just know of the passages that I might reference, one thing that's for certain is there's no shortage of applicability from what we read in the Bible to what we're seeing today. So a perfect example of this is what's going on in the news right now this past week. So I don't need to mention what's going on for you to know that I'm making a certain allusion that you can probably connect the dots on. The Brett Kavanaugh situation has arose. And we're seeing another Me Too situation. So I don't know anything about the case. I haven't looked into it at all. I won't either. I have no interest in this. I believe that this probably will have a similar outcome to what we've had recently in a lot of these cases. And I'm not going to touch on politics today. But I received an email regarding a famous passage in the Bible that connects to this situation. So the emailer sent me a suggestion to look at Joseph and Potiphar's wife from Genesis. So I looked back at that actually in September. It's the perfect prototype of what we see in the current situation. It's the same thing that we're seeing. Power dynamics that existed then, they still exist now. There truly is nothing new under the sun. The sun still stands there. It still rises. But us, the only thing that's different is time and the ways that we've spent it. Otherwise, everything that hasn't budged, it's all the same. So for those of you that don't know of this and didn't hear the video that I made last year, I'll just read a bit from the chapter that alludes to it before I talk about what's on my mind today. So Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. So Joseph is in a position of power right here. Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's probably not around all that much, even though she has all that she needs. Hypergamous tendencies tend to creep up when attention's not given. So Joseph is there. Joseph seems like he's an option. So going on, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. So Potiphar put him in charge of his household. So what we have right here is a little mailman situation. So now Joseph was well built and handsome. He's got the physical attributes. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in the house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing?" So he continues to kind of fend her off day in and day out. But in one situation, he tries to get away. He gets his cloak stuck under his foot. She grabs onto it, whatever the situation is. He ends up running away naked. She ends up framing him as trying to make an advance on her. So I touched on that story back last September. We know how this would go, what the narrative would end up being. He gets thrown in jail for a time, but he gets redeemed. Today's difference, though. Like I said, we're seeing the same stories. There's nothing new under the sun. That's one of the great things about this MGTOW and biblical connection, the red pill connection there that I've touched on over the past year. But the only thing different right now, since nothing's new under the sun, is how we're spending our time under the sun. One of the ways that we're spending our time differently is in making this content. So in the past, Joseph's existed. They didn't necessarily have to live the MGTOW life, though, even with instances like this. Joseph probably didn't really have to consider this as something that was commonplace. But now, we have to adjust to the times, and for those that are Christians, you're becoming MGTOW in some cases. So this is a new thing. There really was no need for that before. That would be really kind of bizarre. It would be very rare. Paul saying that if it's something that you can accept, you should accept it, but At that time in 1 Corinthians, it's probably pretty rare for somebody to willingly accept that, but now not so much. So the only difference now is that there's nothing new under the sun other than how we're choosing to spend our time under it. So now we're spending our time making content like this. We're consuming content like this. We're living this life. It's a new challenge, and that's what I want to touch on right now. So I got an email back in May that I've potentially touched on. I got back to him. I can't fully remember at this point if I've delivered anything about it in a video. And he titled it, "It's Hard and Liberating to Be a Christian MGTOW." So from here, this passage, it may get more applicable to the men within the community that are interested in the Christian life or involved with it or living amongst others, but it's hard and liberating to be a Christian MGTOW. First of all, the only thing in life that is worth doing, or the only things in life that are liberating, they're going to be the ones that are hard to do. So in a conversation last week, I brought up something that I've been loathing. So I followed it up by saying, it's been rewarding though. And that same person was like, really? You just said you loathed it. And I was checked on that. And I replied and thought, yeah, the only things in life that I value are the ones I actually loathe. So the harder it is, that means I might loathe it more. But in the same breath, I'll become more attached to it. So for many men that are Christian MGTOW, that's your experience. This is your experience because you're flushing the flesh from your soul even more forcefully, and you're fighting your inflamed heart every single day. And because of this, on one side, you're becoming enemies with the world, as we are with MGTOW. But conversely, if you have these views, maybe you're not getting married and you're still around the church, or you got friends or family that are around you that are in the church, they will oppose you for this view. They'll see you as fatalist, defeatist, fear-based, nihilistic. So where do you turn? Really, you got nowhere to go. You leave the world. You look for the friends on this earth that you thought would be there to support this MGTOW decision that you made, and then you realize you don't even have them. You got nowhere to go. So to think that it's easy and it's an easy way out is a lie. You actually have nowhere to go on this physical planet. And for many men that are aware of MGTOW and living this life, and for those that aren't aware of it and are living the life, they are exactly as this guy describes in his email to me. As a MGTOW, I don't force or try to explain my views or beliefs. Loneliness kills me at times, though, being surrounded by friends who are in a strong pursuit of sex and female attention and affection at any cost. So I believe that one of the most MGTOW lines in the Bible is Luke 9:60, "Let the dead bury their own dead." So the road that leads to death is very wide. It's really easy to walk on. There's little traffic because there's so much space, and nobody questions why you're on it because everyone else is on it. The road's paved, it's marked, the path's lit, there's company there. But the Christian MGTOW life, the MGTOW life, it's a really narrow path. You feel suffocated by what's around you. You got falling projectiles, the precipice is welcoming a grave far, far below. But like it says in Matthew 7:14, the way is hard that leads to life. So I say all of this today is encouragement. It's meant to be like this. So whatever you're going through, and part of it is the battle that a lot of us are fighting in this position right here, and to those that I'm speaking to, they're building things in life that they're never going to amount to anything physical. It's never going to amount to anything that the world thinks is worth your time. You're going to be pursuing things in this life on this planet they look so trivial to other people. It looks like you're wasting your life. It looks like you're wasting your time, like you're going nowhere. But really, you're building so much more. None of it can be seen. And it's going to be thrown aside. You're going to be thrown aside because of that. But whatever you're going through, the light and the struggles, and when you realize that you were meant to be there, you deal with that fact that the path is narrow and that people from all sides are questioning why you took the route, because not the one that is being taken by everyone else is the one we're on, and that is fine. So sunrisecity@gmail.com, Sunrise City on Twitter. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.